Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
I'm Lisa Stone, and you're listening to Parenting Aces. Welcome to season 13 of the Parenting Aces podcast, a proud member of the Tennis Channel Podcast Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and this week we are talking with a tennis enthusiast, a tennis inventor, and oh yeah, he happens to be a CPA in the biotech field. So there's that piece of it, but also a fellow lefty and also a neighbor of mine here in Southern California. Ken Bright is the inventor of Rally Hopper. He was looking to create a solution to a problem every single tennis player has, which is we wind up with all of these stray balls. We have no idea what to do with them. They get buried in the bottom of our tennis bag, adding another several pounds to what's already a heavy thing to tote around. And so Ken thought, gosh, there's got to be a better way to handle this. Rally Hopper was born through a Kickstarter campaign and was very successful on Kickstarter, raised in excess of the amount that they were seeking, and are now getting ready to go to market. So I'm thrilled to have Ken with us to tell us all about Rally Hopper, its applications for junior and college tennis, and basically just to introduce you to a pretty cool guy. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with inventor slash CPA, Ken Bright.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Parenting Aces, Ken. It is so great to see you, and I'm super, super excited for you to share Rally Hopper with our community.
Pleasure to be here, Lisa. Yeah, I'm very excited about it.
And it turns out we're neighbors. We haven't met in person, but I suspect we're going to find each other on the tennis court sometime soon now.
I sure hope so. Yeah. It would be sad if we didn't.
Exactly. So like I do with new guests on the pod, I want to start by asking you how you came to tennis. What is your tennis origin story?
Let's see. I started about 11 or 12 years old. I grew up in the high desert, very sprawling landscape. And I grew up riding horses, actually. And playing basketball. And then I think it was right about the time that I grew out of riding horses that I kind of transitioned and needed something new to do and started playing tennis, and had a really fantastic tennis coach by the name of Matthew Bullock. He really was great at instilling the love of the game. It was just super fun to be out there on the court with him, and and he had a very distinct style, which, you know, I adopted. I played one-handed backhand, and, you know, which is not less the norm now. And, I'm also a lefty, and, he helped, garner a nice big lefty serve. And, you know, it, and it's just, it grew from there. I was always just naturally, you know, very competitive. And so I started playing USDA tournaments, and did fairly well. I played, high school, tennis as well. I didn't play in college. It's the times were different then, you know, everybody was playing, you know, multiple sports was fairly common. And, you know, I think, you know, where we live down in San Clemente these days, if you're not kind of locked into a sport by the time you're a teenager, you know, there's, you know, barely any hope of making a high school team or whatever. So, but yeah, that's how I got started. And I was just naturally coordinated, and I took to the sport fairly well. And, I've been playing it ever since. It still brings me joy every time I get on the court.
Love hearing that. What role did your parents play in your tennis, if any, growing up? I mean, obviously they wrote the check for the coach and for the tournaments.
Yeah. My father was more of a basketball fan. I'm unfortunately not very tall, so my my basketball days were numbered. Even though I actually was good enough to play scout team in college, and so I helped the UCSB women's program prepare for their games. There was a small team of us that would do that, which was pretty fun. So he was. He knew basketball. He didn't know tennis. I don't know that my mother really knew anything about tennis either, you know? And so it was, they were, I guess, kind of hands off in that regard, you know, which is, you know, can be good, right? You know?
Yes.
And so, you know, I see that now with my own kids, you know, in terms of, I'm using a very light hand in terms of trying to encourage them, you know, to play, and I'm slow rolling it. And, I've got, I think my daughter, my middle child, she's shown a little bit of interest. I've still tried to bring, you know, what got me hooked, you know, is just making it fun, you know, whenever you get out there. So.
I love that. And you're an avid player now. You play relatively often, I know, in the area, which kind of segues into why you're here today to talk about Rally Hopper, which is this amazing piece of equipment that, for whatever reason, nobody ever thought to create before now. So why don't you give our audience a little bit of the backstory on Rally Hopper, what it is, and why you decided to go down this inventor path?
Sure. It does seem like one of those things somebody should have created by now. I don't know. I naturally have lots of ideas. I'm one of those types. I'm left-handed, so I'm in the creative side of my brain, I guess. When I was really playing a lot, basically daily, this was before my oldest was born, cracking a new can of balls every day, and by the end of the week, you've got, kind of this collection of, fairly decent match balls that, that would be, are good for practice or, or the warm up. And, but they were just kind of creating, chaos in my bag. I don't like throwing them away until I beat them to death.
Chaos and weight. I mean, honestly,
I know, right?
Yeah.
I when my son was born, and I was playing a little less, but I still had all these, tennis balls in there. And I don't know. I was like, there's probably a better way to organize this. And I took one of his old diaper boxes, that came in the mail, and I cut it up and made my first prototype out of cardboard and tape. And, I found that I was like, hey, I can organize about, 30 balls, in this space. I'm like, that seems significant, right? I mean, when you look at ball tubes that have, say, 18, capacity, and, I mean, it's less than an actual,
standard ball basket, but you know, it's a nice, you know, middle ground. And then I basically just started iterating from there, you know, in terms of, I built one out of wood and with some hinges, and it looked very, you know, Frankenstein's monster, and, but just kind of, you know, kept at it. And I like designing and drawing, and, you know, and so I would, I'd have new plans made, and, you know, and I just assemble them myself, and just, and you just continue to kind of troubleshoot and improve. And, it went on for years, basically, you know. So I'm a CPA by trade, you know, I work primarily with, life science companies and biotech companies, and it was just something that I liked to do. And then, you know, as it really started to improve, this could actually really be something, you know, as I was kind of adding functionality so then I filed for patents, and, you know, and then I decided to work with a product development company and throw some more spaghetti at the wall. And, you know, that's a really fun process. If anybody hasn't ever done that before, I mean, because you get all of these creatives, you know, you give them an new idea, and all the things that they come up with is, you know, it's quite fun to see. It's been a fun journey. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
So let's back up just a second and talk about what Rally Hopper is and how it can function for tennis players in general, but junior tennis players specifically.
Yeah, sorry, I kind of jumped over that. So it's a ball hopper that fits in your tennis bag, right? And so from that initial idea of being able to organize the balls in my tennis bag, I added functionality where you can actually pick up tennis balls, you can pour tennis balls out. It's got this, you know, very satisfying sensation of just plucking them between the strings, which is, I don't know, it's oddly satisfying. When I started to think about, okay, you know, my own experience in competitive tennis and even, you know, what I like to do, you know, in my social tennis now, I try to get to the court early, you know, and warm up. And the same thing in tournament days, you want to get there, warm up. Hopefully you can find a court. And, you know, you may not have a lot of time. I mean, certainly they don't give you any warm up time for your matches. I mean, it's just kind of a joke. You're expected to more or less already be warm. And then I'll play my match, you know, and then often, you know, the one thing that I'll come back to is, you know, how well I served on that day. Right. And, you know, and if I didn't serve well, I'd go hit some more balls afterwards. Right. And really this device, is perfect for, you know, that type of scenario, basically. Right. If, you know, you young competitive tennis, you're traveling, I mean, the thing fits in your tennis bag. You've got all kinds of, you know, new utility in your bag now. And then you can be so much more efficient, you know, with your warm up and more effective with your practice when you're not with your coach and you're not lugging around a shopping cart bag or, you know, shopping cart basket, excuse me, or you know, the big cumbersome ball baskets that we all know and love. I mean, which still definitely have their use, right? It's just that I see this as, you know, the one piece of equipment that everybody's going to have because it gives you, you know, so much additional functionality in terms of making your game more efficient and effective, which is, you know, really what I think matters when you're trying to improve.
One of the things that I think is so cool about it is, as you mentioned, it fits in the tennis bag. It fits in the racket compartment of the bag. So the general shape of Rally Hopper is akin to a tennis racket. But it expands when you take it out of your bag. It's got legs that actually stand it up on the court so that it is a proper height to use when you're practicing serves or if you're just, you know, warming up, as you said. And then it also functions as a ball picker upper when you're done hitting. You can, you know, grab it by the legs, which are now the handle, and load it back up, right? And I think that's super cool. The other really amazing piece of this, which I love, is that you are recycling a product that is typically been just filling up landfills, and now you're utilizing it to create this new useful piece of equipment. Talk about the strings and,
yeah,
and how you're doing that.
Yeah. So there was, so a bit of, you know, kind of my and my wife's kind of ethos, or, you know, what makes us who we are is, you know, we're very interested in circularity, the sustainability, and so we were extremely mindful in terms of how the product was, you know, the material we used, and, you know, how it was manufactured. You know, I mean, it's made from three pieces basically, you know, and then the strings basically, right? And I forget how the inspiration to actually use string came about. But I mean, ultimately, we were just looking for a lightweight way to retain the balls. And so we went to a local tennis shop here in Dana Point called Strings. And Tony over there is great. And he, you know, we said, you know, we're looking at how we can, you know, kind of have a bigger impact on the game of tennis and make it more sustainable, because it is just so resource intensive, you know, from all the string that gets used and the tennis balls. And I mean, we estimated that there's enough string sold or used every year to wrap the earth twice. And, wow. And it's probably more than that, to be honest. But and so, you know, There were organizations that were trying to recycle tennis balls. We didn't really find anything about the string, though. There wasn't anybody doing that. You know, we live by the ocean here. There are companies that recycle fishing string, so, which is also nylon. So it's like, okay, this can be done, and it doesn't have fish guts on it or anything like that, right? So
thank goodness.
I know, right? And so, you know, we decided, like, okay, let's collect some of this string and see what that process looks like, right? And so we did that for an entire year. You know, we ran a Kickstarter campaign, and there's some really cool photos on there of the piles of polyester and nylon that we collected. And but one of the really interesting things that we didn't expect was that there was all of this virgin unused material in there from the ends of the string spools, right? So, you know, you buy these spools of string to string rackets, you know, and they, you know, let's say they will string 10 rackets, but they always give you a little bit of wiggle room there at the end, you know, because there's varying size of, you know, of strings or string quantity that's needed per racket. And so you'd end up with this couple feet of, you know, of material that doesn't get used. And it was like, oh, hey, let's design this thing in a way so that we can use those, right? And you know, and it, in my experience in my day job of, you know, working for pharmaceutical companies and biotech, you have to find kind of alignments, you know, and that in what you're doing, right? I mean, so there's certainly the first thing of like, okay, am I creating a product that's really solving a problem, right? You know, and but then that next step of like, okay, well, yeah, if that is a problem, there is there alignment, or all the incentive pieces and components in the right place so that doctors are going to actually order my test or you know, use my drug or, you know, whatever it is, right? And the same is true for, you know, most industries, right? And so we're trying to, you know, basically use this product as a way to find that alignment to make the game more sustainable, right? And so that we'll sell these hoppers through, you know, your traditional brick and mortars, the stringers that you're going to, right? And that you have your multiple touch points with every year, and supporting their business, and, you know, and then and asking them like, hey, okay, we want you guys to be, you know, the point of contact here. Please start, you know, in exchange for that, you know, that financial benefit, please start sorting your string, which is really not that big of a burden. I mean, the way that they cut it, they cut them out, and you know, the boxes that we ship the rally hoppers to, you can use one for nylon, one for polyester, and you can ship it back to us, and then we will we'll recycle that material. And I mean, there's plenty of instances of, you know, the big brands, the Nikes, Adidases of the world that are interested in trying to, you know, improve their, you know, their carbon footprint and, mm-hmm. you know, and the sustainability of the various sports that they're supporting. And this is just represents a new feedstock of a, you know, a material that's currently unused, you know, or not collected. It's ending up in the landfill, and, you know, and we're, you know, we're using so much energy and resources to, you know, to make these materials, right? And, you know, it's kind of silly that, you know, that they just kind of end up in the trash when, you know, we're, that they can be recycled. And, you know, there's, I forget which brand it is. There's a recycled string product now. Like, it's, you know, they're making the string from recycled plastic. I think it's a polyester. I think it's a Luxalon string, I think, is doing it. I mean, so, you know, there is interest in trying to improve, you know, the sustainability of tennis as well as all the other sports out there. And so we're trying to use the rally hopper as a way to put a new system in place. I mean, like, if at the end of the day, if I could get that done, like, that's a win. Like, we're basically something that's, you know, not being recycled is actually recycled, and there's you know, a benefit, you know, being added to the game. Like, that would just be awesome.
I love that. Do you know about how many rackets worth of string it takes to make one rally hopper?
That's a good question. We haven't done it yet, but that is ultimately the goal, right? I mean, so I think I estimated that, you know, from the, if we collected 100% of what was being used, you know, the amount of material, you know, that we estimated that's being wasted every year, we could make like 20,000 hoppers a year.
Wow. Wow. And, you know, one of the cool features of Rally Hopper too is if the string breaks, which we all know, string breaks, you as the end user can just restring it.
Yeah, it's just hand tensioned. You just, you know, put it in there, you know, and put a new string back in. And I honestly think that's there's something fun to be had there. And, like, you know, I look, this is my best effort at fitting a rally hopper or fitting a ball hopper in a tennis bag. Mm-hmm. And I hope my patents hold up and they, you know, I'm able to operate freely operate without the big boys coming to get me too soon. But I imagine that somebody's going to come up with you know, another cool way to do it, you know, that I didn't think of. But ultimately, and about the strings, it's like, okay, I put them all more or less parallel, right? You know, you could change your strings and Ross, you know, I mean, like, there is, you know, right now these builds are out of, you know, aluminum sheet metal. I mean, you can drill your own holes, additional ones. You could, you know, I mean, there's, I kind of am expecting to see those sorts of things happen, right? I mean, because, you know, that that's what kids like to do. They, you know, play around with stuff and, you know, and make it their own. And, you know, and you can absolutely do that with this. It's this beautiful canvas that you can slap all your stickers on it and, you know, and show who you are when you, you're stepping out on the court.
I love that. And as an adjunct to that, you are also creating colorful ones. You're working with teams and at the high school level, I assume at the collegiate level, if not already, that's coming. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's basically where we'll be starting our go-to-market efforts. That's the core market basically, right? Is high school players, right? There's been great feedback from the coaches at both the high school and the collegiate level. There's interest, and so I will hopefully be placing a couple with USC and UCLA.
Go Bruins.
You know, and then our local tennis team here in San Clemente, Coach Gary over there has been very supportive and is interested. And I was able through the campaign, I was able to get my own alma mater, Apple Valley, supported. And so we'll be producing all of those. But yes, the way I envision it, I mean, is having one of these, you know, or, you know, up to six of these, you know, for every school basically as part of like their, you know, team equipment, not to mention basically, you know, individual players owning their own, right? I like this idea of like, okay, you're assigning one to your number one singles player and it says number one singles on it down the side. Like, and when you're going, you know, to your away matches and you pull this thing out of your bag and it says, you know, the Tritons on it and it's in the San Clemente red and black colors. And, you know, and in my head, it's going to look amazing. Right. You know, and so I have memories of those and I think it looks pretty awesome. And
can the string be stenciled too? Like, could they stencil the mascot on there?
I mean, technically you could, but there's plenty of it. That's the other cool thing is there's plenty of real estate on this thing that you don't need to. You can put a solid, you know, 4-inch circle sticker on there, you know. Mm-hmm. Or that's an estimate, 4-inch. I think that's probably all right. You know, so, you know, you can have logos up the wazoo, you know, when you fold the legs down. I mean, there's two panels to it. You can do it on the outside and on the inside of it. I mean, so I definitely see that, you know, the high school branding as a big thing. And then certainly, you know, the college game is massive as well. And so Unfortunately, I'm plugged in with Allison Swain up at USC, and I will hopefully be putting one of these in her hands soon, and some other tennis coaches, you know, around the country that I'm connected to. And, you know, and I'm just excited to see where it goes, you know, because the traveling aspect of it is a big one, right? Especially high school tennis, but even like the more so the competitive USTA and certainly in college, you know, it's cumbersome to carry baskets, especially if you're flying. If you're going to fly somewhere, you're not going to take, you know, tennis baskets with you. Or maybe they do, I don't know, but this will be a much more elegant solution, you know? So I think it's going to take off because of that.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, you mentioned how it's great for the competitive junior player. I mean, I just keep thinking back to my days of loading up the trunk of my car to go to a tournament and everything's jammed in there, and how nice it would have been to have something like this that my son could just put in his racket bag. Now he's got, you know, a significant number of practice balls to go warm up his serve, to go warm up with a buddy, whatever it is. And then it folds right back up, goes right back in the bag, and doesn't take up space in the already very crowded car. And it's lightweight to boot, which is a big bonus. And as anyone who has dealt with traveling to tournaments with their kids can attest. But can you tell us a little bit about the price point of this and where it's going to be available?
Yeah, so that's still a very fluid conversation, certainly in my household.
Let me just interrupt, and I want to say that we're recording this. Your Kickstarter campaign just ended, and you were successful. You actually raised more than what you were seeking, which is amazing. Congratulations to that. So my questions may be a little premature, and by the time this airs, we probably will have answers or more concrete answers, which we'll have in the show notes. So check those out.
Yeah. So in the campaign, I mean, the price was like $189. Which is significantly more than what, what you're used to paying for, just a typical hopper. But there's also, there's a ton of, of extra functionality, and it's the first thing, right? It's the first one that nobody's tried to do this like this before. So it's really hard to estimate, the intrinsic value that, that the market's going to put into, place on it. And so we've priced it around, kind of where a tennis racket is priced at. But that's also paying for American manufacturing, local manufacturing, I said that before that we've got this thing down to only three pieces, and that's from aluminum sheet metal that's powder coated, and you can very efficiently manufacture this basically anywhere in the States, and which is just really, really cool. I'm a big believer in that we need to get products made as close to their end use. Not that there's anything wrong with having things made up overseas, but that doesn't apply to everything, right? And so that point was important to me. So that's factors in kind of how we've priced it. And then ultimately, there is that social component of we're trying to take responsibility for the game a bit, in terms of that there is a lot of resources that goes into it and are used and aren't being recycled properly, right? We're definitely there's going to be room to drive down the cost of these in terms of at scale, right? Because
The more you make, the cheaper they become.
That's just a given. Yeah. But ultimately, there is a cost to putting in place the infrastructure that's needed, to do large scale recycling. That's the challenge, right? Is that basically you have to collect a significant amount of material, which should be actually fairly easy to do once it's in place, and we can get that going. It's costly to set all of those things up. And so, I'm optimistic that, the early adopters, will be out in force and able to support and help help the company grow and in these early stages, and then hopefully we can get that system in place, and then we can start driving down costs as we expand.
Love it. One thing that occurred to me as you were talking about the teams using these and you putting stickers or logos or whatever, is this whole notion of brand building for individual players now that NIL is in place with the NCAA. And what a cool opportunity to showcase your personal brand when you're at a tournament or you're on the practice court. I'm having visions of, you know, TikTok and Instagram in my head of, you know, people really personalizing their rally hopper to reflect their personal brand, then building their social media, utilizing that. And so lots of really cool ways to not only get the utilitarian aspect of this that you intended when you first created it, but also to kind of expand that into serving other purposes, the recycling, you know, at the forefront. And I really applaud your efforts to solve for this problem of string waste and coming up with easy solutions for the stringers themselves to actually get that leftover product or discarded product back into your hands so that you can use it to build this very useful rally hopper for people. So kudos for that. I think that's very cool. Yeah, you mentioned that you're going to be selling through the string shops and a variety of locations. Since this is airing mid-February-ish, any idea where people will be able to purchase Rally Hopper at that time?
Yeah, so working on the online platform right now. So we'll have that up. So basically, you know, we just wrapped the Kickstarter campaign, or at least the funding portion, last week, or on Sunday. And so we're working towards delivering those. And so if people that want to follow along, they can go to rallyhopper.com. They can, you know, also check it out on Kickstarter. And I don't know if I'm going to have this up. I will endeavor to have it up by, so I just found out, by Valentine's Day. And certainly at least, you know, to take email addresses so people can follow along and with the actual launch. But yeah, that's where it'll be. And then on Instagram, we're at Rally Hopper, and starting to build some of that content. And that's an excellent point about the NIL. And, you know, I think, you know, that's one of the things that I really like about this design is the ability to kind of, to brand it. You know, I've specifically got my patent coverage, you know, where all the majors are, because I envision these being sold, you know, at the major tournaments and branded in, you know, Wimbledon purple and green and, you know, Roland Garros, et cetera. So, yeah, so it's pretty, you know, that aspect is pretty cool.
Well, I'm hoping I'm going to run into you at Indian Wells this year. We had talked about
That's
trying to connect there. Yeah.
Still on my calendar. I'm looking forward to it, to come out to the tournament, and we'll do some live content. I did just have a, I got the Rally Hopper in the hands of Vanya King, the former Wimbledon and US Open doubles champion, at a clinic. And that was pretty cool. And, the photo that I have of it when she's talking, it's just so very striking. It's I like the way it looks.
Yeah, it's very elegant.
Yeah, I don't know. So it looks cool. And I don't know that the strings, it's kind of interesting because the balls just kind of look like they're floating there. Like they're magically kind of, you know, they're kind of hard to see. It's like, those balls are just stacked. So,
Well, it's very cool. And I'm super excited to see what happens over the next several months with this. I know that it's going to take off because it really does solve a big problem for tennis players at the junior level, at the adult level. I mean, you should see the number of balls sitting in my bag. And then I have a separate, like, reusable grocery bag that I just keep in my trunk that I throw the used balls into. And I have a dog. My dog's very happy to get the used balls, but at some point, like, enough already. So. <Right. laughs> Well, Ken, it's been a pleasure chatting with you and getting to learn more about Rally Hopper. I, again, wish you all the success and look forward to running into you on the courts and especially running into you at Indian Wells. We're going to have a fun time. So for those of you not following Parenting Aces and not yet following Rally Hopper on Instagram, be sure you do that so that you can catch our content when we're out in the desert together. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Thanks so much. And to my audience, thank you so much for tuning in. And we will catch you next time on Parenting Aces.
I'm Lisa Stone, and you've been listening to the Parenting Aces podcast. For tennis parents, by a tennis parent. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to us and write a review on iTunes. For more information on navigating the junior and college tennis journey, please visit us online at parentingaces.com. Thanks for tuning in and sharing us with your tennis community.